Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Good evening and welcome. It is the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are on the road and we are once again out and about. We are at the Red Zone here in on South Howell, by the way. We're sitting here watching the Cubs and the Padres. The Padres have the bases loaded, two out, bottom of the ninth. Machado is up. And did he just get drilled?
He got beaned.
So one run has now come in. The Cubs are right now leading San Diego by a score of 4-1. And we will see if maybe, Machado scores by the time it's all said and done. Maybe ties the ball game up. And who knows, the Brewers could find themselves up by a game by the time this one ends. We've been talking a lot of baseball here on the Huddle for the fact that it has been exciting to watch this Brewers run. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 along with Drew Burgoyne alongside. So we're sitting, and I got to go through this because even though we are going to talk a lot of Packers tonight, we will. You've got the Cubs right now and the Padres. The Brewers have come storming back. They made up five games in 7 days now. And I was reading Bob Nightingale's stuff this morning, who said this is just amazing for what's going on. In addition to that, you're talking about worst-case scenarios for coverage. So for people that now in the best-case scenario, really, for fans,
right.
Your worst-case scenario for coverage, for all the flying and getting around you would have to do. So let's go through the worst-case scenario for you, which would be the best-case scenario for fans.
So the thought
because
is –
because it is all about Kevin Holden.
Right. Well, it's about our travel budget, right, which we're just going to blow about six holes in if this works out this way. What may happen – because we want to be there if the Brewers clinch, they might have a chance to clinch a wild card spot in Cincinnati. So you might have a situation where you travel to Cincinnati, and that's next Wednesday. No, it's – is that right? Next Wednesday? Technically 2 weeks from now on Wednesday.
Sure.
That's a Wednesday in Cincinnati. Thursday is Reds plus – Brewers-Reds plus Packers-Eagles at Lambeau. Then they're in Denver, the Brewers are, for the last 3 days. You'd have to go there. Tie-breaking wild card game is Monday in Milwaukee. Tuesday, the wild card game's in Washington. Thursday, Friday, the first two NLDS games are in L.A. Sunday, you're in Dallas. And game three of the NLDS would be at Miller Park the same day as Packers-Cowboys.
That would be a fan's delight.
Yes.
You know, because of everything going on. And I think Aaron Rodgers, going back to the football vernacular, just said it's a great time to be in Wisconsin. I don't know if you guys caught that, but he was saying how great this is if they can just kind of do their part now.
I think they are. I mean, just the regular fan here, right? In the sense of optimism, especially after, you know, beating the Bears. I don't care how ugly it was. I mean, to me, you go to enemy territory, you kind of set the tone with your defense, and now you got a lot of people that are going to be watching this game on Sunday, including myself. I'm pretty excited. I want to see how they respond and get going.
The biggest, well, the Cubs ended up just beating the San Diego Padres, by the way. And you know what, really? This is the reason I can't stand the Cubs. I'm watching a couple of girls in Cubs jerseys laughing and pointing at, who is that?
Luis Urias,
yeah. He just took the third strike on a big breaking ball, laughing and pointing. And, you know, it's one thing to clap for your team, but laughing and pointing at the opponent. And this is the reason we hate the Cubs. So I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah,
so anyway, that being said, by the way, we beat the Bears. Then anyway, I didn't do anything. I shouldn't say we, but the Packers did. So the Packers, defensively speaking, let's start there. We'll start with the positive. Packers defensively played extremely well. Jair Alexander, by the way, shows up today on the injury report limited in practice with now a knee injury, which, you know, that's kind of going in the wrong direction. I don't know if you saw the injury report today.
Yeah.
Did you see how big that injury report
man.
Is? Holy
it's
mackerel.
Huge.
So a lot of guys nicked up for the Green Bay Packers, which is really funny because nobody played in the preseason. So I can't believe that everybody's banged up like that. But that being said, defensively speaking, they played extremely well. Let me, Drew, I'll start with you first as the fans' perspective. Because there was a lot of overreaction about how good they are.
Right.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just simply saying let's hold your water a little bit here before you get crazy.
Totally agree. And I feel like the season is a marathon, not a sprint. I've been saying that a lot, that they're going to continue to grow and they're going to take steps. But to me, that defense, and Kevin and I talked about this, last year, for instance, let's say you've got a 10-3 lead late in the third quarter, fourth quarter. You pretty much know the dam was going to break and you would eventually lose that. And even though the offense, you know, wasn't doing its thing and they were struggling, and they're playing one of the best defenses in the league, you know, in the Bears, the fact that the defense clamped down, took care of business, and truthfully, going into the season, I wanted to say, am I really going to miss Nick Perry or Clay Matthews? And after watching that game, I didn't think twice about those guys. Didn't miss them at all, and the right guys are on the field, and they made a good splash in free agency so far. It looks like it.
I am completely thrilled that they came out and played the way they did, specifically up front. I like the way Mike Pettine used. Look, we knew that when you jettison some parts, and Clay Matthews being probably the biggest part in the offseason, when you jettison some parts, you know, well, money has something to do with it, but also the way Mike Pettine uses guys, Kevin. So he wants bigger, athletic guys. You know, there's certain guys that didn't fit what he was trying to do. So, you know what? You say, you know, go ahead, find greener pastures elsewhere. But the way he moves guys in and out, Kenny Clark is Kenny Clark. He's always going to be that run stuffer in the middle. But everybody else, Montrevious Adams, Rashawn Gary, those types of guys, they want big, strong, athletic guys that can move all over. They can stand up. They can come in with their hand down, that type of thing. So that's the reason they went in that direction, and it appears to have paid off.
I think the combination of moves have kind of led you to where you are now, where you say such good things about the defense after week one of the 2019 season. And it started with the end of the 2018 season and the thought as house was being cleaned that Mike Pettine needs to stay, that he's got an idea, he's got a direction, and you want to take it in. You mentioned what he wants and what he likes out of his defense. You saw it in glimpses in the preseason, in a preseason in which you didn't see anything. What you did see was this aggressive feel to the defense, especially that first game against the Texans with the takeaways. And you thought, if they play like that in a regular season game, they're going to be really, really good. And they did against the Bears. In fact, to be honest, I thought they played well enough against the Bears that Aaron Rodgers felt a little different about taking a chance here and there. Because if you think about it, if your defense allows 30-something a game, you don't want to take chances. And Rodgers has been the guy who hasn't thrown INTs, who's been a perfectionist, because he knows if he makes a mistake and it's picked off, the defense might allow that to be a touchdown. If you feel confident in your D, you don't have to worry about that. And I feel like Rodgers can take more chances now.
Now, going over to the offense, obviously, when you say Rodgers can take chances, I know that he says he missed some throws, he needs to do some things. We talked about it pretty much this week, over the last couple of days. I mentioned it. We talked about it in the postgame show. Aaron Rodgers missed throws. He threw at the feet of a couple of receivers. Just didn't look right, okay? He's had those un-Aaron Rodgers-esque throws for a season and a game.
Yeah.
Okay. My question going into last season was, has the collarbone fully healed? Then he got the knee issue. He wasn't throwing properly, mechanics, whatever you want to call it. Okay, he wasn't, you know, kind of all right. This year he's kind of looking the same. Even though the offense is off to a little bit slower start, we all know that. And I'm not ready to say that there's problems here. But do you have a raised eyebrow? Do you guys have a raised eyebrow that maybe he's never going to be that Aaron Rodgers we saw prior to Anthony Barr drilling him into the turf?
And the tough part is, I mean, he just didn't look comfortable at all. There were a couple of shots that I told Kevin this. He just looked almost confused. And I've never seen that with him. I've seen him pissed off. I've seen him look really angry. But there were a couple of times, not that he was dinged in the head or anything like that, but it almost like just confused of what's going on. And that's why
that
I think
could be the learning process of the new offense.
I think so.
We can chalk it up to that. But I agree, Kevin. There was a couple of times where I'm tweeting out that play looked dysfunctional.
Right.
It didn't even look like they knew where they were supposed to be.
Yeah. That whole first half almost.
Right.
I mean,
the first quarter they had negative 17 yards.
Right. And there's one drive where they score, and that drive is basically two plays. Rodgers across his body or against his body momentum for the 47-yarder to MVS. And then essentially a 50-50 ball to Jimmy Graham. Aaron Rodgers threw a 50-50 ball. I think we should have stopped our newscast right there because he doesn't ever do that.
No, but the guy that had come in for HaHa Clinton Dix was the same guy that gave up that. The same guy that gave up the touchdown to Graham was the same guy that gave up the long pass to Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right.
So they went after the young guy in the defensive backfield. So that I understand. And Jimmy Graham is much bigger. So you threw it up to Jimmy Graham. And that maybe – because my first thought was a 50-50 ball. Are you kidding me? And my second thought was, maybe he's got a little trust now with Jimmy Graham. Because if he doesn't trust you, he's not going to throw the ball
to
you.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I like to see Jimmy Graham like that. You know, remember Bubba Franks back in the day? All he did was catch touchdowns within the 20. And that, if that's what Jimmy Graham is, fine.
I'll take that every day of the week.
I'll take it, be a possession guy, and, you know, take the touchdown.
But did you get the feeling that it took two big plays to move the football to get you one a field goal and the other one a touchdown?
Yep.
And the rest of the time, just in the confines of the offense, didn't do a whole lot. The offensive line seemed to, you know, be rather porous at times. They didn't get the penetration downfield that they wanted. As a matter of fact, it was a lot more upfield and a lot more pressure put on Aaron Rodgers. But I just got the sense that offensively, I don't want to say we're a far way away, but they better turn it around a lot quicker. Otherwise, you're going to be staring down the barrel of a couple of losses as you really get into the meat of this thing. And their home games that you're now, you know, entrenched in, before you get to the road games that you're going to have to maybe then win later on down the road.
So that touchdown drive was 74 yards. The field goal drive was 73. Every other drive combined was 66 yards.
Right.
If you take your top two drives out of any game, doesn't matter how many points you score, you take your top two drives out and you have 66 with the remainder of your drives, it's not going to win a lot of football games. I don't care who the defense is or the offense that you're facing. It's one of those things, you know, how coaches used to say this to you, you'd win a game, you'd feel really good, and the coaches would say, yeah, but this is gonna suck when we look at the film.
Right.
I think offensively it kind of sucked when they looked at the film.
Let's do this. Yeah. Speaking of suckage, we will be back. We are broadcasting live at the Red Zone here. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Red Zone's a fantastic place. We're the suckage that's in the Red Zone. But that's okay. You can come on by and say hi as well. And I want to talk about excuses, making excuses, because I think I need to analyze this a little bit further. When we come back, we'll get into that discussion. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle right after this. Michael Sutton, we are broadcasting live from the Red Zone here on South Howell Avenue here in Milwaukee. If you want to come by, say hi, by all means, stop in and say hello. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 along with Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58, both here tonight. And we're talking about the Green Bay Packers as they get set to take on the Minnesota Vikings for their home opener. By the way, announced today by the Green Bay Packers, there will be a halftime tribute dedicated to Bart Starr. Cherry Starr, Bart's wife, and Bart Jr. will also be on the field. Mark Murphy going to say a few words, and they're going to play a video tribute to Bart at halftime. In the meantime, the Vikings are going to come calling. And the one thing that I got over the last 24, 48 hours, guys, is, well, the Packers offense, you know, it's a new offense. It's a new head coach. Well, they are facing two really good defenses. And, you know, and all I kept thinking was, are we just making excuses for an offense that just – didn't look good? They kept saying, no big deal. We don't need preseason. We don't need those snaps. We're getting all the quality snaps we need. We've got it down in practice. And if that was getting it down in practice, that's not a good sign.
Didn't Rodgers preface it, like, before the game that week saying, now, remember, this, you know, we're going to continue to build. It was almost like he planted that seed to be like, don't expect us to be just roaring out, you know, here. I think there's excuses, and I'll tell you this. I mean, if they play that way, you know, against the Vikings this week, it's going to be bad at home.
Kevin, will they say, well, you face another good defense, therefore you're not going to look good, or are we going to say, you know, boy, this stinks?
I think it's got to be better. I really do. I think the offense has got to be better. You're at home. It's week two and not week one, and the excuses of not having reps together starting to go away, because you did get reps. They weren't the best reps in Chicago, but you did get those reps together. But that first quarter, was, I thought, a referendum on playing somebody in the preseason. The first quarter of offense for the Packers.
Yeah.
Was at the end of that first quarter, I'm like, are they going to end up in positives for the night? At this rate, I don't know if they will, right?
It looked that bad.
And that's it's a function of where we've gone in the preseason, which is nobody plays now. It's not just, a series or whatever for somebody. Nobody. No, it was all, you know, Trey Carson in the preseason in the backfield. And it doesn't matter who, you know, what the rest of the pieces are. Trey Carson is not going to run for you in a meaningful capacity. If he does, something went really, really wrong.
Did you and I'll go with you, Drew, but did you think that there wasn't really anybody that looked really crisp, but did you think that offensively you could take anything away to say, this I feel good about?
Well, they didn't run the ball.
Because I'm looking for the silver lining here.
Yeah,
you know I look deep.
Yeah.
As a whole, it just didn't look good. They had a couple of glimpses when they sped it up. It was almost like
– That's right.
You know, but we still had the same problems. There's the play clock clicking down. I mean, how many times there probably should have been a flag?
I counted six.
Yeah.
That they ran it down to almost zero.
You can just tell. This Vikings defense is legitimate. These guys have been playing together for 5 years under this system. I mean, I think the secondary is better than what the Bears have, you know, truthfully. So if they don't start running the ball and the offensive linemen aren't on ice skates, you know, if that happens again, I think it's going to be a long, you know, long game. Maybe the up-tempo stuff was a good, you know, was a good sign. I mean, when they actually got things going, but that's it. I mean, what else can you put, you know,
the only thing I took away was I saw them a couple of good things. I saw, you know, Aaron Jones still has the ability to cut back. A couple of times he did that. It didn't end up in a lot of yardage, but he still showed those flashes. He took a couple of big hits and bounced right back up after putting the weight on this year. But Kevin, they used Mercedes Lewis. They threw Mercedes Lewis the football. And – when I saw that, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I mean, this was a guy they went out and got because he played well against them when he was in Jacksonville, and they went out and got him to be maybe a possession guy. If this guy can give you on second down and say seven, and he can pick up six to make it third and short, Mercedes Lewis is worth his weight in gold now.
Man, and the thought was that he could have been worth his weight in gold last year, but it just didn't pan out, right? I got to be honest. I have kind of a confession to make. We're sitting in the press box at Soldier Field, and the PA guy says, pass complete, Rodgers to Lewis. And I turned to who was sitting next to me, Lily from WFRV, and I'm like, Lewis? And I didn't think. And she goes, Mercedes. I'm like, oh, right, the tight end.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
I was like, what receiver is named Lewis in this offense? That's how much we forgot about what he can do. And that's a lot of years of experience and a quality guy. I mean, it's not somebody that's in on a second year. This is someone who's been around forever, who should help you, who should be one of those, as you say, a leader, help you move the chains, help you do some things on offense. I really hope they use him more.
The biggest, I guess, positive you can take out of that game, short of the fact that the defense played extremely well, was J.K. Scott. He's punted well and flipped the field all preseason and obviously into the game against the Bears. Short of the one where he was deep in his own end zone when he punted and got it out to midfield, the rest of the day he flipped the field. He flipped field possession. And flipped the entire field for the Packers. And, boy, you talk about a guy that's now a weapon. You can understand why they drafted this guy.
Oh, and you look at that. I mean, without flipping the field that way, probably would have lost that game. I mean, the last several years, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that would happen. The defense would break. Guys running free. That's another thing that I meant to say earlier. You didn't see guys running free.
Yep,
right.
You know, defensively – you know, they clamped down. They were solid. They knew where they needed to be. It wasn't that 20 to 25 yard, that joker running throughout the middle, you know, the middle of the field. You didn't see any of that. So that was another, you know, another positive. I mean, I want to see that type, you know, week in, week out, because I think the identity of this team might be shifting.
Except for J.K. Scott's short 37-yarder, he punted 57, 42, 47, 63 yards until the next time that he punted, he pooch punted one 36 yards to pin them inside their own 20-yard line.
He would angle
15.
It perfectly, like no return.
He's
no
on the averaging 51 yards a punt until he pooch punted the 36-yarder to the Chicago 15.
He's on a T-shirt. Did you see that after the first game?
Yeah.
There's a T-shirt with him with that leg fully extended. With that, it's your punter's on a T-shirt, and it's not a joke. That's good. You know, like if your team is – like the Browns, their punter is probably on a T-shirt from a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
But it's not a good thing.
No, it's not. Well, you could have had – who was the punter that missed the ball?
Oh, yeah.
When the wind was blowing down in Chicago. was that John Ryan? Was he the one that missed it on the day that Favre was Favre
yeah,
threw the pass
right.
and he basically almost punted it backwards? That was a really windy day. It was one of the coldest games I'd ever been at in my life because the wind was biting. Was it John Ryan was the punter that day? Now, he could have been on a T-shirt.
He could have been
with
on
the ball
a T-shirt.
Flying back over his own head because that was a terrible situation. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about the Minnesota Vikings who are coming in, and they just dismantled a pretty good, at least a considered pretty good Atlanta Falcons team. And they destroyed them up there in the dome. Now they get set to come into Lambeau Field, and they have got everything going in a good direction offensively. And they didn't even have to use their quarterback yet, only 10 passes in the last contest. We're going to talk about that when we come back, where we are broadcasting live at the Red Zone. We are here on South Howell Avenue. You can stop in and say hi. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll be back right after this.
Each game is different. Again, we didn't go into last week's game saying we're going to throw it 10 times, but maybe we'll throw 48 again. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to do whatever we need to do to win.
Welcome back to the program. That is Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, talking about his quarterback who only threw the football 10 times. 10 times in their contest this past weekend when they took on the Atlanta Falcons. They win 28-12. In that contest, and in the game, Dalvin Cook, 21 carries, 111 yards, 5.3 yards per carry average, but two scampers into the end zone. Madison, a guy they really, really like, 9 carries, 49 yards as well. Abdullah goes 2 carries, 8 yards. They were averaging 4.5 yards per carry. Even Kirk Cousins got into the mix a little bit. But nevertheless, he only had to throw it 10 times. He was 8 for 10, 98 yards, one touchdown, sacked only once on the day. I guess when you only drop back 10 times, you don't only have so many opportunities. But a quarterback rating of 140.8. Adam Thielen, 3 targets, 3 catches, had that touchdown, the long one being a 23-yard touchdown pass play from Kirk Cousins. And they rolled. It was pretty easy as far as the Vikings go. Vikings, by the way, were 50% on third down. They were able to stay on the field. They were in a lot of short down and distance situations on third down, and they converted 5 out of 10. Meanwhile, it was the Atlanta Falcons who couldn't do anything. They were 2 of 8 on third down in that contest. So not only did the Vikings defense step up and held the Falcons down, their offense was amazing. And ever since they got Bradberry, that center, they drafted him first this year with their first-round draft choice. He has solidified that offensive line, Kevin, and now that they've got an offensive line, they believe one can run block and two can protect the quarterback. They're feeling really confident. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, you talk about Kyle Rudolph, then you've got the running back, obviously, and Dalvin Cook. They've got every weapon you can possibly imagine.
They have built a plan, and the plan has come to fruition, and Dalvin Cook, to me, is at the center of the whole thing. I mean, you have this great line. They open it up, and this running back, Dalvin Cook, has taken advantage of it. It was 2 touchdowns and 111 yards in the opener, but they've been pushing in this direction for a little while. He's looked good, and in that week one.
He looks now like he did before he went down with an knee injury
that's
a year
right.
and a half
yes,
ago.
Yes, he does. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he just looked that good. So when you watch him, my first thought was, oh, man. I mean, I feel good about the Packers' defensive front, but, man, they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah,
if they can stop him or slow him down or, you know, control a little bit, but I think that's part, you know, of our new bookends. You know, that was one of the things Mike Clemens was saying about Perry and Matthews and basically Gutenkitz going to Mike Pettine and saying, here's a list of guys we're looking for.
Yeah.
What do you think? And, you know, looking at guys, and these are guys that can, you know, can basically contain, and that's something we haven't had, it seems like, the last couple of years. So you feel good about that, especially with Kenny Clark in the middle, some of the plays he made, you know, last week. But
yeah.
It just seemed like right off the bat when I was watching that game, I mean, the Vikings just overwhelmed immediately. I think it was like the first play of the game. They sacked Matt Ryan for like a 10-yard loss, and that was, they set the tone immediately. And it seemed like Atlanta was just on skates, that offensive line. And it reminded me somewhat of the Packers offense, too. You know, a very highly talented, you know, offense. And it took a long time for them to kind of get going. I feel like Dalvin Cook gets going and they can get the running game going, that defense. That's their bread and butter. I mean, that's how they want to win.
With Dalvin Cook running the ball that well, I kind of, in the back of my mind, went, man, that might be a Mike Daniels game. A guy that can plug the hole, a guy that can maybe help stuff the run. But, you know, like Drew said, this is what they brought the bookends in for. This is the reason they brought those guys in. Montrevious Adams has looked better. You talk about some of the guys up front. Dean Lowry has to look better. But the defense, I'm not overly concerned about. But this, to me, is more of a real test for this defense than what last week was with Mitch Trubisky, who just looked lost.
Oh, man.
And throw the ball 40 sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
You throw him over. I mean, Gary Ellerson said, you throw him over 40 times, you're going to lose a game every damn time.
It's dumb.
So I'll make two predictions right off the bat here. One is that they're not throwing it 10 times again.
No.
That's because Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than someone who can throw it just 10 times in a game.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy that can, at stretches, carry a team. I mean, you know, the Vikings gave him a boatload of guaranteed money, and they didn't do it so he could throw it 10 times in a game.
No.
So the defense will be tested against Dalvin Cook, but they're going to have to pay attention lest they get burned by the Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielens of the world. That could be where the biggest issue is. The second prediction, I think, is that we talk about Cook, but Madison, I think, is going to be a guy to watch out for. He's their change of pace. He's their 1B or their number 2, whatever you want to call him, in the backfield. But he's an impressive runner. I'll say this. If he was in Green Bay, Aaron Jones would still be the one, and he would be the very close 1B, closer than Jamal Williams.
And I agree with you. Now, if you can even slow down the run game, okay, let's just say that they can, and up front between Lowry and Clark and Adams and Preston Smith and everybody, they can do that. But and we know we've got defensive backs in Jair Alexander and obviously, you know, Kevin King. And King is a little bit nicked up, too. I mean, he's on the injury report this week again as well. But those two guys, I think, are extremely solid. And those two guys are legitimate. They can play on island type of corners. My question is, who covers Kyle Rudolph?
Right?
Because that becomes another weapon. I mean, granted, if you get Dalvin Cook out of the backfield, you've got to account for him. But who is that guy? Do you see more of B.J. Goodson? Is it Blake Martinez? Do you start running? Do you start running Adrian Amos up through there? Do you start running a guy like Darnell Savage Jr. at him? I mean,
I bet you one of the safeties probably do.
Maybe
it's
Savage. Who covers Kyle Rudolph?
Like a Raven Green playing up, like
right.
He has.
Oh, there you go. Right, right.
I mean, that's a scary proposition because Kyle Rudolph was
got
the
it
one
from every area.
That's right, and he was the one quiet guy in this game.
Yeah.
No catches against
right.
The Falcons. So also a dangerous part of that offense. So this is. You open the season in Chicago, and you've got some pieces there for Chicago, but Minnesota's pieces are much more evolved, maybe all across the board. Better receivers, better quarterback, better running backs, better tight end, too.
I would have to give the nod, obviously, in coaching right now to Mike Zimmer.
Yes.
Matt LaFleur being a new young coach as well. So when you start to kind of break it down, you look at all sides being equal, and you say, okay, where would you give the nod? You'd obviously give the quarterbacking nod to Aaron Rodgers. But if you look at the numbers – over the last few years, Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, numerically, statistically, they've been actually pretty close. I mean, granted, he has never won more than 10 games, and he's never won a playoff game, being Kirk Cousins. But when you look at the numbers of what he's been able to do, he's been almost as good as Aaron Rodgers. Granted, Aaron Rodgers' touchdown to interception ratio is crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to touch that. But in the grand scheme of things, wins, losses, yardage, touchdowns, everything. Completion percentage actually favors him. He's been better in that area. You can't just look at Kirk Cousins and go, it's Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean?
Right.
No,
as a quarterback, he's been pretty good. And he's actually beat him when he was with Washington.
Yep.
Yeah, if they're able to run the football the way they want to, then it's going to be a different story. So I hope at home our offense kind of gets it going a little bit. You know, it's quieter on offense. You know, it's not – I mean, because that Chicago crowd – was
they were amped.
Off the. I mean,
yeah.
That was loud.
At least early on, they were.
Yeah, yeah. And then
booing.
Then the booing got really loud. But you hope obviously that that Green Bay crowd is going to be pretty lit too. I would think.
I for the opener for a noon game, and it was interesting that Aaron Rodgers would specifically mention that when he talked this week. He talked yesterday, and he said we have to get the crowd in it because it's a noon game. and we haven't had those, and they won't have a lot of those because they've got all these Thursday night and Sunday night games. I thought that was interesting. There were two little hints from Rodgers to the crowd. Don't do the wave when we're on offense, which is really funny because the first road game they play, they're going to do the wave.
Right.
And second was be there and be loud early. Don't still be waking up or be drunk.
He was kind of alluding to the fact that, well, it takes some a little while to get up and move around and the others imbibe a little bit too much, so get in here and get crazy. Let me ask you this because, and we noticed this, our first two preseason games, they've got that loud third down horn that they played in game one, and then they've got the lights that they started flashing and running different patterns for, those LED lights that are the stadium lights now when touchdowns or big plays happen. I know they've got to be trying to put more energy into that place. They're trying to do something. They don't have areas for ribbon boards like Miller Park does and other venues do, so they've got to figure something out if they want to try to in some way artificially enhance the experience so much for fans to wake fans up. But it's almost – let me ask you this. As a fan of Green Bay and as a fan of Lambeau Field, there are people that have said – and Gary Ellerson's one of these guys who said, it's Lambeau. You don't need to do this. We know better. Fans know better. But is it time to shake it up a little bit?
I'll tell you, you still have issues with folks who are listening to the radio broadcast who want to sit down on the benches, and they don't like when you stand up. I mean, I had one time where we stood up and I got a tap on the back. Are you going to do that the whole game? And that's the kind of stuff that I think they're trying to, curtail. I mean, why not pump up the Metallica on third down and get people, up?
Right.
None of the Tundra line and all this nonsense and all. I just some of that stuff, it's just too gimmicky, and they don't need to do that. But they
don't realize that like the Cheesehead was something that was organic.
Right.
It was born. They didn't make it up. Some marketing department didn't say, hey, let's do this. Remember the G-Force?
Yes.
Such a fabrication.
Oh, my God.
We used to make jokes. Drew, you remember Drew Smith?
Yeah.
We used to make jokes like he'd come in with two hot dogs from the line. And I'm like, G-Force, two.
Right.
Two hot dogs.
It was just so stupid. And I know they try, and they have a marketing department that sits around. Everybody puts their head together and says, let's do this. And, ideas on paper may seem great, but the best ideas are born out of organic. They just grow.
Yeah, and right now, and it's not just at Lambeau. It's all over the country, baseball, football. Fiserv Forum has this. The fan experience has become this centerpiece, right? It's about the bars across the street and the entertainment that's nearby and all this other stuff. That's all fine, and Titletown District is a nice addition to Lambeau Field, but Lambeau on the inside could be just like Dodger Stadium on the inside. It could be like it was in 1970, and I'd be fine with that because that's enough
but
to hold.
But the Dodgers now pump up the music.
Yeah,
that's like they got a DJ in the house.
Man, my head still hurts from last October.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you, Drew, as a guy that sits in the stands.
Yeah, you bet.
What do you like? Do you like a stadium that's thumping and the music's thumping and they got stuff up on the board, or do you just, like you mentioned, Tundra line and all some of the fabricated stuff?
I don't care for any of that. What I used to like, what they used to do on third down, I think they played. Yeah, it was like Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, and it was just that start, and we all know the riff and all that, and people just got really, really loud. And I think it's just a matter of people standing up. The other thing, too, with these noon games, there are a lot of folks that are have been celebrating for the Badger game the day before, a lot of tired folks, and they wake up in the third and fourth quarters, too. I've noticed that, too. So I just like when they pump up the music and get people to stand up, but sometimes you get other people around you that don't want to do that.
On big plays, that's understandable.
Right.
I get it. Look, if it's a first down play and they just get the ball and people are standing, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But you got a big third down coming up, man. They're asking for noise.
Yes.
You don't want, grandpa sitting behind you going, you're going to move. I'm trying to eat my hot dog and watch the game.
That's exactly what happened.
That's no, you can't be doing that, man. As a fan, you got to get loud. Even if you yell at the – just yell to yell and the sound echoes off the ass of the guy in front of you. Who cares, It makes it louder. Who cares? Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live at the Red Zone here on South Howell Avenue in Milwaukee. Stop on in and say hi. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. Kevin Holden from CBS 58. Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 as well. On site, if you want to come by, you can win maybe a couple of things from our friends at Bud Light who bring you this program. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle right after this.
Yeah, it's great. My only ask is that we don't do the wave when we're on offense. Other than that, man, be as loud as you want, from the start. Hopefully nobody, says sit down anybody. If heard that from time to time. Somebody standing up, somebody else tells them to sit down. But yeah, we got a great, obviously a great home field advantage, a great, great fan base, and the louder the better.
The louder the better. That is Aaron Rodgers. Welcome back. It is the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live from the Red Zone. We are here on South Howe Avenue. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 alongside with Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58 as well. And that is Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, get in there early, get loud, get crazy. They really are trying to make, they're trying to, I don't know if you want to say take back Lambeau Field because it really didn't go anywhere. But let's be honest, over the last 2 years, you haven't had a whole lot to cheer about. The one interesting thing that I find, I had to reread this because with the crappy season they had last year, they were 5-2-1 at home.
Wow.
You know, when you think about it.
Right.
That's so at incredible. Least they had a winning record at home. And when you talk about the teams that have had winning records at home, only New England has had a better one since 2007, 85-12. The Packers are 71-23-2, which is a 750 winning percentage at Lambeau Field. So as bad as last season was, and it was bad, it was ugly.
Right.
They won at home. Two of the ugly losses, the one obviously coming to Arizona, and that ultimately cost Mike McCarthy his job.
Right.
But they have been decent at home. They're just trying to get the fan base re-energized and reinvigorated, whatever you want to call it. And they're you know, it starts when Matt LaFleur came in and said, let's change the pictures. We're going to get rid of the old. Not that we're going to forget about the history of this franchise, but we got to make a new history here. We can't live on 2010. Aaron wants another Super Bowl. He wants one, obviously. It's time to move forward. I appreciate what they're trying to do. I don't necessarily agree with everything. But right now, it's throwing darts at a dartboard. Let's find anything that's going to rev up this crowd and make it stick. So, now, are you going to the game on Sunday, Drew?
Nope, no, I'll be watching at home. I got to work Sunday, so.
So, you're going to be at least – the forecast for Sunday looks good, though, right?
It looks good, yeah. Some showers in the morning across the area here, maybe up north, but then clearing should be breezy, probably mid-70s up there, so.
Give him a green screen, man.
Yeah, a breezy green day. That would not be a bad thing. Then again, Aaron Rodgers, Kevin, we were talking about this earlier. Do you think, because I saw Aaron Rodgers try to throw the Hail Mary to the end zone.
Yeah.
Has Aaron lost any flight on his ball?
A little bit. I thought so, too. Even the one to MVS.
Is it sacrilege to say this? I mean, are we going to be chastised because of it? Is Aaron going to get pissed off at us and not want to talk to us anymore?
Over something. No, it's he'll find something. No,
I'm just going by, you know, the eyeball test.
He's coming up on 36 years old. Those passes, those long passes, yeah, sit up a little bit. That MVS play, you're talking about them picking on a young guy in the secondary, but that was up there for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a rainbow. And
he had to come back for it.
Yeah, right. And we're not talking about, you know, he's not 45 years old.
No,
I mean, this is not way beyond. But, yeah, if you're talking about Rodgers at this moment versus Rodgers 4, 5, 6 years ago, there's a noticeable difference. And he's got enough veteran savvy that he can deal with it on a lot of the short and intermediate plays. But those long balls will be different.
Yeah, I feel like you're doing something like talking bad about the Pope or something like this. I do. I mean, it's sacrilege to talk in any kind of negative light about Aaron Rodgers. And I still think he's a tremendous quarterback. I'm on the litmus test of let me wait and see. But in the last year in a game, I've watched some just throws that aren't Aaron Rodgers throws. I've watched some third down throws where he's had clear and wide open guys and has chosen not to take them. Where if he threw into a tight window and zipped the ball the way he has in the past, it's an easy first down. And I'm wondering to myself, why? Why are those not there the way we've seen in the past? Now, I saw the video that went viral. I want to address that. That this past week, everybody saw the video on Twitter of him on third down and the blitz coming, and you don't blitz Aaron Rodgers, but now you can, all that kind of stuff. Look, he only had, on a couple of those plays, he only had a second and a half to get rid of the
ball.
They were
right in his face.
They were collapsing a pocket relatively quick.
It's the best, to me, I still think the best overall defense in the NFL. And one of the things that will happen over time now is we're going to start seeing this regression back, or I guess it would be progression, right? Things would get better. And I think over the course of the year, you'll realize that of the 16 opponents, the 16 games you'll face, those two against Chicago are the toughest two for the defense. And they know that, and they can put that pressure on Rodgers. So it's in between a little bit. Maybe the defense can take a few more liberties coming after him, but Chicago's defense, because of personnel, can do most of whatever they want.
Yeah, Chicago's defense I still think is the best. I thought when they substituted Deion Bush for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, that became part of the weakness. And I even was surprised they didn't go after Ha-Ha Clinton Dix more.
Yeah.
Because they know him. They know that he hasn't been the hitter that he once was. They know that he hasn't been the cover guy that he once was. I really thought they'd go after him a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't even hear his name, you know, at all. I just, you know, this week you still got, you know, a really good defensive line that can get you with four guys. They don't have to blitz. You know, these guys can win the battles. And to me, it's all about, you know, the Packer offensive line kind of taking a collective breath saying, all right, you know, we got all that stuff out last week. You know, felt like we were on skates. I know Bakhtiari, he's on the injured list, isn't he? He's got some back issues.
Yeah.
That, to me, you know, I know you mentioned Alexander, who obviously, you know, is huge and can shut down a whole side of the, you know, of the field. But if they're already shuffling or have to shuffle, you know, and I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but if, you know, if he's out.
And he didn't practice today, by the way.
Right, and that, you know, and Thursdays, you know, you start kind of really looking, going, okay, that would be a huge concern because then you're shuffling.
16 guys for the Packers on the injured report, on the injury report. Jair Alexander with a knee, who that came up today, or yesterday, actually. He was limited today in practice. Bakhtiari with the back, didn't practice today. Brian Bulaga was back after some rest. Oren Burks, we know about him. Jimmy Graham, we know about the finger. Kadar Holman with the neck injury, he's got limited participation. Josh Jackson with the Achilles, he was back fully participating today. Kevin King, we know, is nursing a little bit of a hamstring and a chest injury. He was limited today. Corey Linsley with that elbow, full participation. Cole Madison, full participation. Blake Martinez, full participation with a shoulder. Will Redmond has an ankle issue, but he was a full participant today. Darius Shepherd, the wide receiver, with a hamstring, did not practice again. Marquez Valdes-Scantling now has a shoulder, but he's back. He's good to go. Jamal Williams, same thing. And then you've got Tremont Williams, who they just allow him to get a little bit of rest because he's the aging veteran. But that's a breathful right there. I guess the only thing you can look at right now and say, look, Anthony Barr has a knee issue. He was limited yesterday, not listed on the injury report today. He says he's back, he's fine. And then you had Josh Doctson. The wide receiver had a hamstring issue. Now he's been placed on the IR for the Vikings. But beyond that, you really Everson Griffin has an elbow issue, but he's been a full participant. Daniel Hunter, the end, defensive end, has a hamstring, but he's back. He's fully go. So it seems like they're coming in a little bit healthier than the Packers are as well.
At 16 Packers names you mentioned, so in a 53-man roster, you're pushing a third of the roster.
And they didn't really play too much in the preseason.
No.
Thank God they didn't. Right. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. 1 hour down, 1 hour yet to go. We're broadcasting live at the Red Zone here on South Howell Avenue. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.